Welcome to the Arise Podcast. My name is Tanya Anderson. I'm the CEO at Arise, and it's my pleasure to have with me today Brad Burnham, who is our lead education advocate at Arise. Welcome, Brad.
Hi.
So, Brad, you have worked at Arise for about 5 years now, and you work with a program that is very near and dear to my heart, education advocacy. And before we talk about that, tell me a little bit about your background before you came to Arise. What did you do in the school systems?
Before I came here, I was in the education system, primarily teaching at the elementary level. I was mainly a substitute teacher, but I had a couple long-term assignments as a substitute teacher. I was also a teacher's assistant and a teacher's aide as well. Like I said, mainly at the elementary level, working with kids of all levels. What mainly led me to my current position for the Arise was I had one position as a teacher's aide where I worked with a child with Down syndrome, and I really connected with him. I noticed that we bonded really well together, and if I hadn't had to move for a different circumstance, I probably would be working with him today. And he's actually going to be graduating this year.
Wow.
The other position, the other long-term subbing job that I had, I worked with a child that also had an IEP. He has a processing disorder, and I'm currently tutoring him now, even after my assignment. So I've always had a connection with kids with that. That have a disability, so I think that's why I wound up here at Arise in this current position, because it's always been a passion of mine, something that I've always wanted to do.
That's so important to have that personal experience, you know, out in the school and in the classrooms. And from what you're saying, I'm assuming that the classrooms you were able to work in were inclusive classrooms, so that there were kids with disabilities and there were kids without disabilities. You mentioned IEP, which is an individualized education plan. So some of the kids with disabilities have a specific document that gives you information about how they can better learn. But what I'm also hearing is that you really just took the time to get to know the students on a one-to-one personal level in terms of supporting them and letting them guide you about what they needed. Does that sound right?
Yes, because something that I learned as an educator, and something that I tell the districts when I'm in the CSE meetings, is that sometimes it's more about making that bond with the child, whether you're the teacher, the teacher's aide, or whoever is interacting with the child. If you make that connection, if you take the time to get to know how the child thinks, how they learn, you will get unbelievable results from them.
Absolutely.
But if you just talk at them and just be like, you're doing it this way, you're literally just bashing your head against the wall. You're not going to get anything out of them, because if it doesn't work for them, then they're going to push back.
Right. And at the end of the day, a student with a disability or a student without a disability, everyone has strengths or weaknesses.
Exactly.
In the classroom, and they're going to be able to learn in different ways and respond in different ways, regardless of what an individualized education plan says, and might be just how they feel that day. And we
exactly.
just have to be in tune.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing background that you had. And then you came to Arise, and now you work for our education advocacy program. And can you just tell us, just broadly, what is our education advocacy program about?
Our program is about, I always use the term, bridging the gap between the parent and the district, because even though we do represent the child, we do work closely with the parent, and most of the time when the family comes to us, the communication between them and the district has completely broken down. So what my department does is we work with both the district and the family to get that communication back on tracks and teach both the district and the family to work together for ultimately what the child is not only is entitled to, but what they deserve, and whether that is a smaller class setting or to be in the gen ed setting, which is our ultimate goal, because that's the least restrictive environment, or whether they need a one-to-one assistant, or if it's simply just extra time on a test. We work with them to make sure that communication, because the ultimate goal is for when we go to the CSE meeting that the parent is advocating using the right terminology and getting the child what they need. That's right. The ultimate goal is that the parent is able to advocate. And then in high school, as long as the child is cognitively able to, New York likes to see the child in the CSE meeting itself, so that by the time of their junior, senior year, they're actually leading their CSE meeting.
Right.
And advocating for themselves and saying, this is what I need to be successful in school.
Right. And you talked about, there's a couple of themes in there that I want to make sure we highlight. Mm-hmm. So you talked about the CSE meeting, that's a Committee on Special Education meeting, and that's something that is required to happen at least once a year. And as you mentioned, it's involves obviously the student, their family, the educators, any special folks that might be working with the student, like an occupational therapist or a speech therapist. And what I really think is important from what you said is that this is a team coming around the table, looking at what's working and what's not working, communicating for the benefit of the student at the center of the meeting, and learning how to advocate for the best result. And the other thing I heard you say, which really strikes with the mission of ARISE, is that we are all about making sure that the people who come to us, they decide what services and supports they need, and then we give them those services and the skills, and then teach them how to advocate for themselves going forward. And that's really the beauty of this program, is that you so completely embody what ARISE does. Can you talk a little bit about some of the specific examples of issues that might come about or concerns that a family might bring to your attention, and how you solve those problems?
Sure. A lot of, we get all sorts of different the concerns that come up. One that comes up quite often is we will get a call from a parent that has been in communication with the school and the district, and they are actually trying to have their child tested for an IEP, and they're not getting anywhere. And it could be something as simple as they're just not talking, they're not sending their request to the right person, or they don't have enough information, you know, to send to the district. So
right.
what we do is when we take them on as a client, we would point them in the right direction so that the request and the process gets going once it gets into the right hands, because something that we usually run into is the parent will say, well, we've talked to the principal, we've talked to their teacher, we've talked to everybody at the school, and then my follow-up question is, did you talk to the head of the department, or did you talk to the psychologist? And the parents usually say no, and I'm like, those are the people right. that you need to talk to.
And that's because it's a very complicated process.
Yes.
Special education services are highly regulated,
mm-hmm.
and it's what I'm hearing you say is that a family understands there's something not quite right with a student's education, and they want to get to the bottom of it. They want to start the ball rolling in
and
terms
they just
of
don't
an,
know who to go to.
An evaluation. Right. They don't know who to ask, and they also don't they have to write it down.
Yeah.
And that they write it down, it starts certain timetables,
mm-hmm.
and you're there to help people really unpack this complicated process.
Right. To help guide the process so that once we get it into the right hands, then the ball gets going. And then things flow pretty quick after that. And then I usually get phone calls. They're like, wow, that was really, really fast. What did you do? And I'm like, I just told you when we type a letter up, and now it's in the hands of the right person. We've just been talking to the wrong people for the past 2 years, and nobody's told you that it needs to go to this person.
Right.
And all I did was I told you that it needs to go here. And then we got the ball going, and we got the child the IEP that they needed.
Right. And that testing happens, and then mm-hmm. if they meet a certain threshold, then they do qualify for services. They get the individualized education plan.
Right.
One of the other things you had talked about was a concept called the least restrictive environment. And that has to do with the setting that's most appropriate for a student and the way that they learn. And what I heard you say is that we really strive to have as many kids as possible in the general education setting, just the typical classroom that
right.
any student would be, which again aligns with what ARISE does, because we're all about community-based services and inclusion and learning from each other. Are you finding that it's easier than it used to be in the past to get districts and teachers to understand the value of having students with disabilities in the general education classroom?
I would say it's, since the pandemic, I would say it's been a little bit easier to advocate, to have children with disabilities in the gen ed setting for a longer period. The districts seem to be more open to it, and not as quick to like push a child to a smaller setting, which does make my job easier.
Right.
But I think since the pandemic, I think that has improved.
Why do you think that is? It's because all the rules were just upended during the pandemic,
learning? Everything was, for lack of a better term, put on pause within reason, because, you know, and I remember last year especially, and the previous year, that was my argument when everybody was at home and a lot of the districts were like trying to take services away. I was like, you're not seeing what the child can actually do. You know, don't take the child's one-to-one away, like off the IEP. Let's leave it alone. Leave it for the first quarter. We'll come back. If they're still doing as well as they did when they were home, then we can look at it, because whether you want to admit it or not, every child had a one-to-one at home, because when they were home, they were getting help from either an older sibling, if they had an older sibling, they were getting help from either mom, dad, their grandparents, whoever was there. If they needed help, they could ask somebody, and that's effectively what a one-to-one.
Right.
So they were getting that help whether they had it on their IEP or not.
Right.
So that was always my argument in CSE meetings was leave. Don't take anything away. We'll come back in 10 weeks once we're all back in the classroom. And then if they're doing as well as they were doing, then we can look at making adjustments.
And that whole process, I think, is very important in terms of coming to the meeting, coming to the table, and really being collaborative and forming a partnership and looking at the evidence in terms of test scores or mm-hmm. behaviors or whatever it might be and saying to the district or to the family, this has been the experience so far, let's make this change and see how it works out. If it doesn't work out, we'll make another change. They have to have at least one meeting a year, but they can have as many meetings as the child needs, right?
Yes, you can call a meeting as many as you want. We are legally obligated to have one a year under IDEA, which is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act.
Right. So I know firsthand about the value of the work that you and your team do. It's incredibly important work, and as we've talked about, probably the most important thing about it is the fact that you are giving families tools and information so that they can advocate not just in the meeting that's coming up, but in every meeting after that, and even when the student graduates, those self-advocacy skills are going to be the foundation of that person's success in life. So how does someone get in touch with you? They have a student with a disability in their life, they know somebody, they really want to learn more. What should they do?
You can look on the website. My contact info is there. My direct number is 315-671-5421. Email is B as in boy, another B, URN as in Nancy, HAM as in Mary, @ariseinc.org. And we're always taking people on. You know, we currently don't have a wait list, and I don't foresee us having one anytime soon, because we're always taking new clients on.
And you're always bringing such success to families. So thank you, Brad. Mm-hmm. Our website is ariseinc.org, where you can find out more about education advocacy. Thank you, Brad, for all that you do. I truly appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you.
For more information on how you can support Arise, visit our website at ariseinc.org. Support Arise. Support independence.